Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nurturies Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Conspirators' Hierarchy by Dr. John Coleman is a controversial work of political conspiracy literature first known from the early 1990s and later circulated in multiple editions. The book argues that world affairs are shaped by a hidden elite called the Committee of 300, which the author presents as an unelected power center operating above governments, institutions, and public law. Coleman writes in a forceful expositional style and frames the book as an attempt to explain why major political, economic, and cultural developments appear coordinated rather than accidental. Its subject sits at the intersection of conspiracy theory, anti-globalist argument, elite power analysis, and apocalyptic political warning. The book does not function as mainstream academic history, but as a sweeping interpretive framework that tries to connect governments, corporations, finance, intelligence networks, and social change under one central narrative. Its purpose is both explanatory and cautionary, offering readers a totalizing account of hidden influence while urging skepticism toward official accounts of modern international events. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central idea of a hidden ruling elite. The defining subject of the book is the alleged existence of a secret transnational group called the Committee of 300. Coleman presents this body as the real center of power behind visible institutions such as elected governments, major financial interests, multinational business, intelligence agencies, and influential policy circles. According to the book, this elite is not limited by national borders and does not answer to ordinary democratic oversight. That claim gives the work its organizing logic, because nearly every later argument rests on the belief that public events are directed from above by a concealed hierarchy. The book, therefore, asks readers to reinterpret politics not as a contest among competing nations or parties, but as a managed process shaped by a small network with long-range goals. This idea places the work firmly within the tradition of grand unified conspiracy writing, where many disconnected developments are explained through one master structure. Whether readers accept or reject the thesis, the importance of this topic is clear because it establishes the book's overall method, tone, and worldview. Everything else in the text is presented as evidence that visible power is secondary to a deeper and more secret form of control. Secondly, a total theory of control over politics and society. A major theme in the book is the claim that elite power operates across nearly every important sphere of life rather than in politics alone. Coleman describes alleged influence over banking, commerce, industry, religion, media, education, and social movements, suggesting that public opinion and public policy are shaped together. This broad scope is one reason the book has remained notable within conspiracy literature. It does not offer a narrow theory about one event or one institution, but instead, it proposes an all-encompassing model in which wars, financial shifts, social unrest, moral change, and cultural transformation can be read as parts of a coordinated plan. The structure of the argument encourages readers to treat fragmentation in public life as deceptive, since separate crises are portrayed as linked outcomes of centralized design. This is also where the book moves beyond ordinary suspicion of elites and into a total interpretive system. In that system, institutions that appear independent become interconnected instruments. The practical effect on readers is significant. Supporters often find the framework clarifying because it imposes order on complex events, while critics see the same feature as a sign of overreach. In either case, the book's importance lies in how fully it extends the idea of hidden management across modern society. Thirdly, world government and the loss of national sovereignty. One of the best-known themes associated with the book is the assertion that elite power seeks a one-world political and economic order. Coleman argues that national independence, local traditions, and established religious and civic identities are obstacles to centralized rule. In his framework, international institutions, policy coordination, and cultural change are not merely trends of modernization, but steps toward consolidation of power. This theme gives the book much of its polemical force, especially for readers already concerned about global governance, supranational institutions, or erosion of sovereignty. The argument is presented as more than geopolitical analysis. It is also moral and civilizational, because the weakening of national identity is linked to the weakening of inherited values, social cohesion, and public self-determination. Within the logic of the book, the modern world becomes a battleground between concentrated elite planning and the survival of independent societies. This topic is central because it ties the alleged secret structure to visible political anxieties that many readers recognize, even if they do not accept the larger conspiracy claim. The book, therefore, gains influence not only from its hidden narrative, but from its ability to attach that narrative to real debates about globalization, power concentration, and the future of democratic control. Fourthly, insider authority and the intelligence perspective. Coleman presents his background in intelligence work as an important basis for the book authority. That self-positioning matters because the text asks readers to trust a witness who claims unusual access to hidden information and elite networks. In conspiracy literature, this strategy is powerful. It allows the author to frame the book not as speculation from the outside, but as disclosure from someone who is seen behind official structures. The intelligence perspective also shapes the tone of the work. Events are treated as operations, institutions as fronts, and public narratives as managed cover stories. The result is a style that resembles briefing, warning, and exposure more than detached scholarship. This helps explain both the appeal and the controversy of the book. Admirers often see the insider posture as proof that the book deserves serious attention, while critics note that such claims do not by themselves establish reliability. Still, the topic is important because it explains why the book has remained influential in certain circles. It offers not just a theory of power, but a narrator who claims proximity to concealed mechanisms of rule. That claim gives the work urgency and a sense of privileged revelation, which are key features of how it persuades its audience. Lastly, influence, controversy, and limits of credibility. Conspirators' Hierarchy stands out partly because of its reach within alternative political and conspiracy-oriented communities. But its reputation is inseparable from serious questions about evidence and credibility. The book has been influential as a framework text for readers seeking a single explanation for elite coordination, secret societies, and global political change. It is often cited alongside broader anti-establishment and anti-globalist literature because it gathers many anxieties into one dramatic narrative. At the same time, it is not accepted as a reliable academic account by mainstream historians or political scholars. That distinction is essential to understanding the book fairly. Its significance lies less in verified contribution to political science and more in its cultural role as a durable example of total system conspiracy writing. Readers encounter it not just as a set of claims, but as a worldview that interprets ambiguity, instability, and institutional distrust through hidden orchestration. This makes the book worth analyzing even for skeptical audiences. It reveals how comprehensive conspiracy narratives are built, why they attract loyal readerships, and how they convert complex global developments into a morally charged story of design and deception. Its legacy comes from that interpretive power as much as from any specific allegation. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers interested in conspiracy literature. Alternative political narratives, secret society claims, and critiques of concentrated global power. It may also interest researchers studying the rhetoric of anti-establishment writing, especially how such books create coherence by linking finance, diplomacy, culture, and social change into one overarching theory. The main intellectual benefit of reading it lies in understanding a highly influential style of conspiratorial argument. Even readers who reject its claims can learn from examining how authority is constructed, how institutions are reframed as instruments of hidden control, and how broad historical anxieties are organized into a unified story. For sympathetic readers, the book offers a sweeping explanation for modern disorder and a warning against passive trust in official narratives. What makes it stand out in its category is its scale and certainty. Rather than focusing on one event, one organization, or one scandal, it attempts to map an entire hidden architecture of rule. That bread has given it lasting visibility in conspiracy circles. Compared with narrower books in the same field, it is more ambitious, more systematized, and more openly civilizational in tone. Its impact comes from presenting not a single suspicion, but a complete counter-history of modern power. If you would like to support Dr. John Coleman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.